Hey, Peter Howard here from the Dynasty Crossroads Show. Did you know people that listen to the Dynasty Crossroads Show are 20% more likely to be happy? Probably, maybe. This and other maybe facts on the Dynasty Crossroads. Check it out.
Yeah. Chicken a crow, crossing the... Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russell
Rocky,
other names. Trade addicts pot, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I, too, have a trading problem.
And I'm Jeff Bell, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Session 170 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we just did. There's news today, and that's exciting, but you know, I'm gonna do this right this time. I'm gonna slow down. I'm gonna breathe. I'm not gonna get too excited that there's news, but there is news, and I'm excited. But Jeff is here, and this is the first time Jeff has been here. We are very excited to have Jeff here. We're happy to have Jeff here. It's weird that Jeff hasn't been here before because we started talking before. And I'm just like, we've talked a lot, and he's like, no, like we've never really talked in face before, and I'm like, oh. Well, crap. Now my brain hurts. Like, it's so weird. Like, we interact with all these people all the time, and you forget that. Like, I guess that's a good thing, right? Like, you feel that closeness, even though we've never really spoken before. But he's going to go to the expo, so he's getting a hug, whether he likes it or not.
Make me feel bad, Rustin. I'm not going.
Well, that's exactly why I said it.
Well, 100%. The reality of it's the shared Disney bond. And I know, Russ, that you love Disney. And so I'm a Disney connoisseur as well. So that's really what it boils down to. So it just felt like, you know, that connection was always there. And I'm thrilled to be here and very happy that you guys have me on.
Yeah. And we were bonding over our girl dadness before as well. And also how we have no interest at child birthing above top half. We are not going below. We don't want to be there for that. Okay. Well, to veer away from that subject as quickly as humanly possible, Jeff, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Yeah, I am Jeff Bell. On Twitter, I am For Whom J Bell Tolls. You can find me with Fantasy Pros. You can find me with Football Guys. You can find me with Going for Two Network, where I do the Debbie Royale Tuesday nights at 9:30. And then also Coming Off the Edge at 7 o'clock. Me and my friends get together and we just have a good time talking fantasy football and whatever else might be on our minds. And so all around, and I've got content coming out in all different channels and avenues, and everywhere that will let me put one up, I do it. So I'm appreciative and thankful to be here.
Damn, you're like the next Chris Allen, where you have to like take a nap while he starts listing everywhere that he writes for.
Jeff is everywhere.
And also, I do need to say, I have always loved your Twitter handle. It is just brilliant.
Yes.
I appreciate that. I've gotten some compliments, and so I'm very thankful. And, you know, a couple months ago, everybody was talking about adding FF to their handle. I was like, no, I'm not doing it. Nope.
No. There's no reason to ruin that perfection right there.
Yes.
Which, by the way, with the Disney thing, Russ, did you see Jeff's tweet a while back where he compared players to Disney princesses?
No.
It's on my pinned tweet. If you go to my pin, I have a whole bunch of random threads on my pinned tweet. If you go through my pinned tweet, I did a whole rookie quarterback to Disney princess comp guide. So I went through the whole rookie class for running backs. I did Nintendo 64 games. For wide receivers, I did HBO original series. And for tight ends, I did fast food restaurants. So I comped the entire rookie class to whatever inanimate object you can imagine.
That's fantastic. All right, so I have this pulled up now, and part of me wants to just put this show aside and start reading this out loud and doing this as we go, but we're not going to do that because really that would just be me and you caring about it, Jeff. I don't really know if anyone else will. That's a lie. Everyone loves Disney. Get over it. Start just be able to admit it. So you've now introduced yourself to everyone. Let's play our little interview game. How long have you been playing fantasy football for?
So I was thinking about this today. This is a great question. To give perspective, my first team, I had Kurt Warner in his breakout season. So I've been playing fantasy football for about 23 years. This
will be my, I was trying to think, like, which breakout season?
I know.
Breakout, first one Rams or the
breakout Cardinals season. Breakout season? Or?
No. It was my freshman year of high school, and I remember playing on Sports Illustrated. They used to have salary cap challenges where you would, you know, we'd had our league, and it was like six of us, and you'd have to make your salary cap team. And I remember after week one, Kurt Warner like went out completely unknown at a minimum salary, and he just lit it up. And so I grabbed him as my quarterback, and I rode him all year on a minimum contract. And it bore a love of late round quarterbacks that has begun to be challenged lately with some of the scoring that's coming out of top end quarterbacks.
Okay. And how, okay, man, that just like, it broke me for a second, because I'm sitting there thinking while you're talking, I'm like, I think I started at Kurt Warner's revival, you know, back when, you know, owning Warner and Fitz was that great stack.
Oh yeah. I remember that.
How long have you been playing Dynasty for?
I've been playing Dynasty for 2 years, actually. So I've been 2 years of Dynasty. I was in a long running 14 team Superflex keeper league. And so that was, you know, you're at 14 teams, super flex with keepers involved. It's kind of a sister to Dynasty, not quite all the way there. But this is my second year doing Dynasty.
I love thinking about this question, because it took a lot of fighting for me to get my friends who I've been in a keeper league forever to get into Dynasty. It finally happened for a couple of them. How did you take that transition? Like, did you do it just by yourself? Did you bring your league mates with you? How was that? How many keepers was your league? And then what was it like? Was it complete culture shock to go full Dynasty?
So our league was keep three, and we would have a timeout rule. So I was in two different longtime keeper leagues where you'd keep three. One had a 2-year timeout rule. One had a 3-year. One was auction with a 3-year timeout rule with inflation built into it. And the other one was just draft. And so you would keep at your pick. I got into Dynasty really, I think many of us probably can relate, but last year during the pandemic, following Scott Fish on Twitter, then getting into safe leagues. And so I started out with safe leagues, and I did a couple of those. I'm still in those. And then it was about towards the middle end of July last year, I just told my home league, I was like, guys, we're doing this. Like, you can come along or you don't have to. And fortunately enough, we got 12 guys that all signed up and did it. And my draft has aged incredibly well, because I had the 102, and CMC went number one. And so I was able to get Patrick Mahomes at the 102 in a Dynasty Superflex. I got Josh Allen late third round. I got AJ Brown. I've got DK Metcalf. My draft is incredibly aged well. So I'm hopeful that we keep going, because I'm very fortunate about where my starting point is.
Yeah, you may have to give up a few trades just to even the league out a little bit, so you don't just keep crushing it.
I did actually kind of do that, because we had one guy that joined and he didn't have any quarterbacks, and I gave him the trade was, he was a big Buccaneers fan, so I gave him Godwin, I gave him Jameis Winston, and I gave him Irv Smith, and I got back Darren Waller and Kareem Hunt because I needed a running back. But it was one of those where I was like, welcome to the league. You need a quarterback. Let's scratch each other's backs here and give me my guy Darren Waller.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
except I think you still made out on that.
So. Yeah, I probably did.
Yeah, but still.
One of those things where, like, Jeff's team's going to be too good, and people are going to be, why do we do this Dynasty thing?
That is my underlying fear, that what are we doing here? I didn't win last year, though. I didn't have any running backs, so I really got hung up there.
What's really funny is, like, we draw this line, or at least in these questions, between fantasy football and Dynasty. But the truth is, the leagues you played as keeper leagues were much more complex than anything I even play as Dynasty, you know, until I got into it. Like, I never played Superflex until I got into Dynasty. Auctions, I didn't start till like 2 years ago. You know, all of this stuff that like people jump in playing redraft Superflex, IDP, it's just like, oh, cool. I played in like 10 team, one QB, start seven, you know, yeah. Like, and then I like, yeah, no, I've been playing Dynasty for a while. I'm in like 12 leagues, but everyone plays so much more complex shit than I do.
Yeah, well, it was one of those things where I was in a bunch of leagues and it kind of spiraled like 5-6 years ago. And it was one of the, and I didn't know anybody in any of the leagues, and they weren't keepers, or like one or two of them were keepers, but then they all just kind of fell apart. Then I ended up dropping down to having 2 years ago, I had just had two leagues that, and I cared about. And it was one of those where it's, two leagues was not enough for me. And if I think right now I'm sitting at about 15 to 20 dynasty leagues. I don't even know the number off the top of my head. And I feel like I'm in borderline Ryan McDowell territory very quickly, because there's another like nearly 60 best ball drafts that I've done this year. And it's just like absolutely wild.
Yeah. That's the sickness happens quick.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. Man, Russ is in 20 something. I'm in 30 plus. So. Wow.
Yeah. I keep trying to, like, every year I'm like, all right, I'm going to cut down. I'm going to drop this amount of leagues, and then just pray I don't add at least that amount. Like, let it be net negative. That's all I really want. Every year I'm just like, let it be net negative. And I finally was this year. This was the first year I actually really pruned it down. And of course, I kept ruining it by, okay, let's start this. Okay, let's start this. You know what? Let me start, we'll start a 48 team league.
I was just going to say like, 48 team, four copy league.
Like, the thing is, like,
crazy rules.
It was just too good not to do. Like, I loved, like, I created a Harry Potter league, and like, okay. I needed to do it. It was in my brain. Like, it was like a Bosch thing where he's just like, I needed to get it out into the world, and I spat it out. And every, like, I didn't realize the circle that is the Venn diagram between dynasty players and Harry Potter. Like, there are so many people that are super into it. I'm like, okay, if like six people said, cool, let's do it, and that was it, I wouldn't have done it. But I had right off the bat like 20 something people, and I'm like, guess I have to do this. It's not even about me anymore, it's about the people.
I joined Pigs this year, so I think I'm in Pigs.
So much fun.
Three or two. I don't even know which one I'm in. But I'm, you're not so in one, I'm, I can so tell confused. You that. I'm so confused.
I'm in a kitchen sink league, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
I was in the kitchen sink league for 2 years, and it was far too much for me. But I love the idea of Pigs. I'm not a fan of points per carry, but I love bankroll leagues. The idea of it is so much fun.
Yeah, I took over an orphan, and I had like $100, and we were going into the rookie draft, and all of a sudden everybody's at like $400, and I was like, okay, well, this $100 is not going to do anything for me. And so I rolled everything. I bought Picks for next year and rolled everything over, and I'm just like, now I realize I don't know that I can, if I can add people, because I don't have any money. So if I'm just stuck with this roster, what's going on? But
well, you're allowed to tank, so do it. Absolutely. I started Mitch Trubisky and Josh Rosen the entire year last year. But that's what I did in Pigs. I had 1 year where I actually I didn't make the playoffs, but I actually won. I got a payout for scoring the most out of the people that didn't make the playoffs. Then I'm like, oh, cool. Well, let's see if I can do a little better than that this year. And then I started looking at my team, and I'm like, no, I got lucky. Everybody gone. Everybody, like, I came into, like you said, you had like 100 and everyone had 400. I had $1,400 coming into this rookie draft. I walked away with like three quarterbacks, Kyle Pitts, Javonte Williams. Like, I loaded the hell up, and my team is still not that great, but it was a lot of fun.
That's what I need to do. I really just need to tank it, because I have no running backs. I think my best running backs are James Conner and Gus Edwards. So I think I just need to go all in. But I have Travis Kelce, and so I just need to sell him for the farm if I can.
I'm waiting for someone to actually send me a real Kyle Pitts offer. This is my only share of Kyle Pitts, and I'm absolutely willing to sell him. I want these Twitter offers, man. I want these Twitter offers, and I don't get them.
I offered Travis Kelce for every copy of Kyle Pitts in the league, and I got denied on every single
one. Oh, yeah, you will get denied. Like, yeah, like, that's freaking John Bosch. That's all he talks about. No, like, it's Price wrong. Too. Let me say it's wrong. Yeah, both of them. It's like, you should absolutely be able to get Kyle Pitts for Travis Kelce for someone that's competing. But we're not going to get into that. What we're going to do is ask Jeff, what are some of your best and worst trades you've made in your first year and change of Dynasty?
Well, I'm going to go back to the keeper for my worst one. Because what happened, so you could keep a guy for 3 years. And sitting 4 years ago. I started out 4-0. I was feeling pretty good. I needed a quarterback, I thought, at the time. And now I wouldn't have done it, but now I know better. I went for Tom Brady. And, you know, I was talking and negotiating with the guy, and the last pick piece that he wanted to throw in was a Saints running back that was buried on the depth chart. And I thought, okay, well, you know, this guy's not playing, like, right now. And so – you know, I'll give you Alvin Kamara as a throw in on this deal, essentially. And it was like a week later, they cut Adrian Peterson and he blew up. And not only that, have I dealt with 4 years of this guy having Alvin Kamara for dirt cheap in this league. I made it to the title game this year, and the guy I played against had Alvin Kamara in his very last game as a keeper and dropped 69 points or whatever it was to win the championship. And it was like, wow, this is a deal that I will never forget about. And it has certainly colored and changed my approach on trading and just on fantasy football in general, because these little things that you don't think are going to matter all that much turn back and bite you for years.
I would have driven to that person's house and flipped their table. That's how upset I was. I'm not flipping my own table. I'm going to flip your table, and you're going to have to clean up. How about that?
Yeah, well, in this team, like, I had a team of destiny, essentially, because I lost Saquon Barkley off my team, and I had no business really even making the playoffs, but it was one of those where you win every single matchup by 2 points on Monday Night Football. So, like, you luck your way to like 11-3 season and whatever it is, and you end up in the championship game, and then he comes out in the very first game of the championship game, Alvin Kamara drops that 70-point game, and I was like, well, it's been good knowing you.
That's rough. That's so damn rough.
Yeah, I got Kamara in one title game last year. I scored 211 points and still lost.
Yes,
because of Kamara.
All right, let's bring this back up. What's a good trade you made? Come on, man.
So last year I did make a good trade. I traded in the startup that we were talking about from my home league. I traded my 2020 first, my rookie first in the startup, for a third round pick, and I got Josh Allen with it. So,
oh yeah,
that worked out pretty well.
Yes.
So wait, is that this rookie? Like, was that this rookie draft
that we just finished? So it would have been. I think I ended up at pick 9 or 10. So I think I essentially traded Zach Wilson and like Henry Ruggs for Josh Allen straight up.
Gone. Yeah.
Even last year, that was a bit of a steal. I mean, Josh Allen was a top 10 ADP guy before he went nuts this past in 2020.
Yeah, he was landing in the third round in a lot of startups last year.
No, he was like late third, early fourth round.
People weren't drafting quarterbacks like crazy people last year either.
That's right. And that is a big change from last year to this year. It's shocking how much that's changed.
And then everyone finds out that Rocky likes drafting late quarterbacks. They're like, oh, that guy's terrible. So let's all that clearly means we have to draft them early. And now 10 quarterbacks in round one.
Yes.
What are we talking about? Okay. So what is a guiding principle you take with you, Jeff, whether you are evaluating or offering trades?
So guiding principle, I do believe in get your guy. You're trying to do a trade, I approach it with a level of this is the target that I'm going after, and these are the assets that more or less I'm comfortable giving up. And so I try to be very flexible in trade negotiations. I do believe, and I take the time in thinking out the offer before you make the offer. And how is this going to benefit your team? You take that extra step and not just throwing guys out there, because we see these awful trade offers and it's just like clearly, okay, well, this guy wanted, this guy didn't care. What made sense in the other guy's team? And so I do believe in that and strongly. And so that is one thing that is struggle for me being in 15 dynasty leagues, having kids, working, whatever else it might be, to take that time and actually make a good offer. And then it is incredibly frustrating when you do take that time and set it aside, and the response is basically, this is offensive. And it's just like, all right, man, we're on completely different wavelengths on these player values here. There's not much I can do with that. But I do believe in, if you're going to make an offer, and I do believe in being proactive, to take the time, look at the other person's roster, and see how that would make sense for them.
So the opposite of what Russ does.
Oh, you beat me to my own self-deprecating joke. I was going to be like, that's like me, Rocky. That's what I do, right? Oh man, you'll get into a bunch of leagues and then you're just going to find yourself literally head in one hand, other hand on the mouse and just clicking buttons and you have no idea what you're clicking, but you're sending offers. That's what I do. Like, especially like at this point, I do it just to mess with Rocky, where I just always ask him to pay up for quarterbacks that I know he never does. Because it's just so much funny to be
that,
like,
or you're sending me old guys. One of the
Thielen or Thielen or Julio. Yeah. He's like, do you even know me?
Well, it's and you get these guys in these leagues that it's just like a non. It feels like a nonstop barrage of offers, but then you eventually you see trades come through that they've did that you're just like, how did you do that? And it's like, well, obviously you did that because you're nonstop barraging offers out there, and finally somebody said yes to it.
Yep. Well, I mean that's. I wish I was being clever where, you know, it was that send all the bad stuff because sooner or later someone's going to say yes. It's really just because I very strongly promote do as I say, not as I do on this show, because I clearly don't always do the smart thing. I don't look at other, like when I really am trying to make a trade, I absolutely do all of that stuff. I try and actually put it together. I'll send a good offer first and all of that stuff. But like there are just sometimes I don't even look at who I'm trading with. Like if I want a guy, there's a player I want, I'm just like, okay, sure. You know what? I'm going to offer a trade to every team in this league. Oh, well, that guy is like five starting quarterbacks and I just offer him another one. Eh, whatever. Yeah. You know, it fun is what really matters. Right, guys? Absolutely. That's at least what I'm going to tell myself right now.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can be guilty of that as well. If there's a guy that I just want off my team, I'm just going to carpet bomb the entire league and tell this guy's off my team.
Yeah. It's fun. That's all that matters to me. Okay. So I'm going to allow myself to get a little excited, not completely excited because a lot of these are injury related and that's mean. But there's a lot of news. There's a lot of news that's happened. This first one, we're going to go over a little quickly because at this point it happened practically a week ago and everyone's heard about it. Just of course, everything happens on Tuesday mornings. So Cam Akers, everyone kept saying ACL when I knew it was an Achilles. Cam Akers ruptured his Achilles. He is done. I mean, we have, to say done isn't fair, but we have no proof, evidence, history, whatever word you want to throw in there, of at least a running back coming back from a ruptured Achilles. We've seen a couple of defensemen. I think there was a quarterback at some point, but no one that's needed to cut like a running back does. No one that needs the burst like a running back does. And I mean, it's not even, I'm not even going to ask Rocky about this because Rocky wasn't a Cam Akers guy in the first place.
For the record, I did not hate Cam Akers.
No, extremely overvalued. Don't backpedal now. You hated the guy from the moment he was born,
he's hurt. I thought he was going to be CEH from last year, where everybody was ridiculously overvaluing him, and then everyone was going to be disappointed when he finished as an RB2. And he was just ridiculously overvalued. But anyway, continue.
I know. So just let me try and make you seem like a bad guy for a little bit. Come on, man. Don't take away my fun. Okay, so I guess let's take this from both angles. Jeff, do you think that – how do you feel about Cam Akers coming back? What do you – are you – man, there's no right way to ask this. Are you buying – Cam Akers at all right now? Are you going to trade for him? And on the other side of that, what do you think of Darrell Henderson?
So I am not buying Cam Akers right now. And there was a note today about Marlon Mack was supposedly 100% healthy, which fantastic for him. And it's the type of thing that if we see this done once, then maybe I can get some belief in there. And I know Demaryius Thomas had the surgery and then he was able to come back. But right now with the running back track record, I can't get there on buying Cam Akers. And from everything that I've seen, I haven't seen lopsided deals to move him off. It's not like people are trading him for third round picks from what I've seen. And so I am just not there because my concern is if he does make it back there, it's two different things here. It's if he makes it back and plays football again is one thing, but if he makes it back and is a franchise running back one in fantasy football is something else entirely different. And I think that a lot of people that, at least from what I've seen, they're still not willing to not give up that hope that it might happen, and I'm not paying that price. And in terms of Daryl Henderson, I do have a lot of Daryl Henderson, just because I do tend to, when I do a startup, I tend to fade running backs early, and I'll load up. And Rocky's seen it in leagues. I will
Scott Fishbowl, which isn't a dynasty league, but still
not a dynasty league. But I went straight zero running back in Scott Fishbowl, and I got Daryl Henderson in round 15, I think it was, or 14. So that has aged very well in a very short amount of time. That completely flips that roster upside down. But in dynasty, I do have a lot of Daryl Henderson, just because when I do a startup, or I like to go running back, or not running backs, but quarterbacks and wide receivers early. And I really like to grab an elite tight end early. And so running backs, I'm usually just throwing darts at guys that might step into a situation. And so I think between my dynasty leagues, I'm almost at 50% ownership of Daryl Henderson. So I have a lot of Henderson.
In leagues that you don't have him, would you be willing to pay a first right now for Daryl Henderson?
No, because part of it is I've already got him in a lot of leagues. And so, like, I'm not looking to not diversify.
Look at this, man. You've only been in for like a year and change and talking like a pro already.
I know. Well, I'm telling you, but I've got my exposure. I feel comfortable at the level that I'm at. And it's hard for me. And it's something that I did get burned a little bit on. Mike, I picked up Mike Davis last year, and I think I got like a second for him, like later second for him when I traded him, because it was the type of thing where I traded him right before Christian McCaffrey was supposed to come back, and then he didn't. And then obviously he turned into a running back this year. But no, I'm not buying Henderson right now. Just it's the type of thing where I've paid the price that I'm willing to pay for him, and I'm thrilled that the value has shifted on that, but I'm not buying in at the higher price.
Rocky.
And I was just going to say, I know you're not asking me, but I think Jeff has the exact right take.
You know I was going to ask you afterwards anyway.
Jeff has the exact right take on it. Like, I understand Cam Akers is supposedly, better than anybody we've seen get this injury, although there's really no proof of that, says the Cam Akers hater. And he's younger, but until, I'm not trying to buck those odds that we've literally never seen a running back come back from this injury and play at the same level. And we don't even know what that level is. Like, he was, and people want to, everybody's hyped him up this offseason because he had a couple good games at the end of the year, but he was RB like 50 last year. So we don't even know. Like, I've seen on Twitter how it's mentioned this never happened to an elite running back before. Cam Akers says no, Cam Akers is not elite. Not yet, yeah. Anyway, other than in a lot of people's minds. So I'm just not trying to buck those odds. Like Jeff said, if he does it, or maybe if Mac, maybe if Mac does something this year, maybe JT gets hurt and we see Mac look good, then maybe I'd be willing to buy in. But until I see a running back do it, I have no interest in acquiring a running back with an Achilles tendon injury, no matter who it is.
Yeah, I bought a couple shares of Deontay Foreman when he came back, and he had that one decent game and then never really seemed to try again, and then he actually went to the Colts after that, like, and it was like, is it no, it's not gonna happen. That's but about Akers and about Henderson, I've seen one in all of my leagues, I've seen one trade of trading away Cam Akers. Get ready for this bad boy. Cam Akers and a 22 fourth for Ramondre Stevenson, Nico Collins, and a 22 second. That's rough.
It's rough.
I have not.
I don't even know that I would do that. Honestly.
It's pretty. Yeah. I don't know. I have one share of Akers, and I haven't even. Did I trade him away? Holy crap. I think I might have. Now that I'm saying this stuff out loud, I know I did a trade. Let's see if I did it.
Scroll, I was lucky. I only had one share going into this offseason, and I traded him well before this. So
okay, I traded Cam Akers and Deebo Samuel for Juju Smith-Schuster.
I love that.
Yeah, no, like Jeff does. I felt like Jeff.
Like Deebo, look, man. I do.
See, I don't like Deebo. That's why.
I'm iffy on Deebo, and at that point where my team is coming off earning the 1-on-1, which of course I traded away during the season for some reason. I'm fine pushing to a guy like Juju instead of taking the risk over Deebo, because I like Deebo coming out. His injury history scared me a little bit, but then Ayuk and Kittle still there, and now with Lance maybe there. I don't know if it's one of those, maybe the volume goes back, but the efficiency will go up with the rushing court. Like, there was far too many questions where I'm like, just give me Juju. I don't care where Juju plays. He's good at football, and I know that. So just, that's fine. Let's do it. And I got out of Cam Akers, and that was just fine for me.
I do want to play devil's advocate on Akers' value, because I do think that there are two different events that can change his value. One would be, like Rocky mentioned, if you've got Cam Akers and Marlon Mack comes back and has a good game, that's going to raise Cam Akers' value. And the other thing, too, is one report next summer that Cam Akers is ahead of schedule or Cam Akers is looking good, his value is going to skyrocket. So there, I think there are instances where you can buy him now and he doesn't even need to step on the football field before you can turn around and have a much more valuable asset if you're willing to play that game.
I don't know. Like, maybe if you're not in a league with people that are on Twitter as much as we are, like, I really think when it comes to like the Trade Addicts leagues or the Pigs or Kitchen Sink leagues, I don't know if anyone's really fallen for that.
Yeah.
Or if anything, like, yeah, maybe the value will go up, but not enough to make it worth the risk to me, at least. Mm-hmm. And Henderson, I haven't seen any Henderson trades. I know in that league where I had Akers, I offered, I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was pretty much like something in a second for Henderson. And then Casey comes back to me at Henderson and something for, and a second for my first. And I'm like, just not giving up a first for Henderson. I get that you're giving me your second and there's stuff going on, but I see that one going away and I can't do it. My favorite part was the second this news came out, everyone updates their trade bait to Darrell Henderson. And I'm like, I have to have Henderson somewhere. And finally, going through all my leagues, I had one share. And even in my trade bait, in the comments, I said, I get to be that guy. And of course, I did not get a single offer for him, but it was just, at least it was funny to me. And that's all that matters.
That's right. You know, with you saying that, it makes, I think it's funny too. Like, and we're going to talk about Rodgers also. Like, the same, you know, dynasty Twitter community that always likes the young guys and wants to take the long view. We get one piece of news or one thing and everybody just overreacts to everything. And more so with Rodgers even than this Henderson Akers thing. But like, people want to sell, you know, buy or sell Henderson for like, does nobody think that another running back is coming in there? I mean, like we overreact to everything on a moment's notice when everyone, we're supposedly supposed to be taking the long view. I just find it funny.
All right. Well, just lead us into the Rodgers news while you're at it.
Well, yeah, like this 3 days ago, because some sports books, there wasn't even a report that from anybody official that Rodgers was retiring. Some sports books took down some bets and people, I'm in a league where somebody traded Aaron Rodgers in a 22 first for Tannehill after that, between then and today, because of that. And like I said, there wasn't an official report. So I'm talking about the overreaction so much more so with the Rodgers thing, even than the Akers and Henderson thing. But yeah. And then now it comes out today. Oh yeah. Rodgers is going to play for the Packers. He's getting some concessions. Apparently he wants Randall Cobb back. And now he's playing for them. So I just, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So Rodgers, people close to Rodgers said that Rodgers intends to play for Green Bay. He's been talking to the front office, and I read it once, so I don't know if it's real, that they were reworking his contract to make room for Devontae Adams' contract or something. Again, I only read it once, so I don't want to say it's real.
They're also supposedly voiding, I think, after this year so that he can move on if he wants to.
Oh, okay.
Supposedly, that's the rumor.
Yeah, maybe that's where they're getting the Adams money from. Yeah. So, Aaron Rodgers is coming back. I still feel fine about the fact that I traded, especially now after hearing that, I feel much better about the fact that I traded Rodgers for Tannehill straight up. Well, at least I didn't have to add a first.
That's much better. Yeah.
But, okay, so besides what this does to Jordan Love's value, because like you said, people are overreacting and not remembering the fact that he's going to start. Let's face it. They drafted him with a first. He's going to start eventually. But besides what this does to Jordan Love's value, does this change anything for you with any of these players? Have you actually been, man, words are gone already, and it is 10:12. Have you been acting under the idea that Rodgers wasn't going to play even just for Green Bay, if not at all? Or have you just been like, no, he's going to play for Green Bay?
I have been acting under the idea that I didn't think he was going to play for Green Bay. I really didn't. I thought that he had enough, you know, the supposed rumors that he's calling Gutekunst, Jerry Krause, and everything else that's going on with that, the way that he ended last year. I haven't gone out of my way to avoid him, but I haven't been in a situation where I found myself in a position to draft him, and so I just haven't drafted him. I have taken Davante Adams in a couple leagues, and I've done a couple charity redraft leagues. I ended up with Davante Adams, and that was just I think that was the type of thing where maybe other people were giving that discount on Aaron Rodgers not playing, and it just fell right to me. I think I got him at like a 212 in one league, and so I was like, all day, like I'm smashing that. And so in that regard, I've gotten Adams a couple times. And I've done these best ball leagues. Like I've just been doing these underdog drafts. I think I'm at Rodgers. I want to say I'm something like 15% exposure or something like that. But Adams is a guy there that I haven't gotten much. And it just feels like it's just not falling right for me. I usually start those out with running backs more so than grabbing the top wide receiver when I typically build, just because I like to build on, you know, four or five running backs and then just load up with the wide receivers. And so I haven't been actively treating it like he's not going to play, but I haven't been in a position to find myself drafting him.
Yeah, I hate that. That's one of the reasons I hate those best ball drafts, is because me as a person, I like building my teams around wide receivers, and then maybe not necessarily zero RB, but it's really tough to do that when there's no wire, there's no trading. Like you have to predict far too much to draft running backs late in those leagues. And that's kind of why I don't necessarily like them too much. I'm not that smart. I don't know. Well, in fact, no one is, but I'm less smarter than those people that can do that. Rocky, has anything changed for you?
My answer is going to be boring because, yeah, no. I've been working under the assumption that Rodgers is playing in Green Bay. So I haven't really debated any of these Green Bay Packers, Davante Adams. I haven't been thinking Jordan Love was going to be a thing. So nothing's really changed for me. I thought all along he's going to come back. You hear these stories all the time about guys wanting to leave. And other than, I think, maybe Deshaun Watson, you know, I don't think it hardly ever happens. I think it is going to happen with Watson, you know, especially with all the other stuff going on around him too. I'm sure there's no chance he ends up staying there. But yeah, Rodgers, I generally assume in almost all cases with these kind of, I'm going to hold out or I don't want to be with this team, that they generally end up with the team, especially when it's a quarterback.
Carson Palmer's the only one I could think of off the top of my head that when this
and
is all coming up.
He actually did retire.
Yeah, for like 20 minutes and then came back.
And that's really what I thought was going to happen with Rodgers. I thought that he was going to retire and then they were going to trade him in October and he was going to go to somewhere else was kind of the way I played it. And it was just, the value wasn't there anyways for me. So I didn't have to actively avoid it. It just didn't fall in.
Yeah, I traded away that one share of Rodgers, and it was really just because I didn't want the headache. it wasn't because I really did think he would come back. I did think he was going to play in Green Bay. It was fun to think of him going somewhere else, just because it's not too often we get to see Aaron Rodgers get moved, you know, and like we would know that if Aaron Rodgers got moved somewhere, he'd still be playing like Aaron Rodgers. Like we kind of thought Brady was done, and then he completely showed us he was not. So, yeah, oh, Rocky's going now and I need to walk away also. Damn. All right. So I guess I'm going to talk for another few minutes. So I am, man, like Davante Adams was always my wide receiver one. That doesn't change. I don't think this really changes anything. If anything, if you liked Jordan Love before, still go buy him now. Because like I said before, he's going to start probably next year as the way it seems. Let's move on to our next piece of news. Hold on. We're out of order now. So Mike, I have to delete things and move on. Otherwise, I say things too many times. All right, so let's talk about Michael Thomas for a second. So Michael Thomas missed most of last season because he was injured and then apparently didn't get enough surgery fast enough, because it just comes out this week that Michael Thomas got another surgery and he's going to miss like 4 to 7 games, like something major. And that sucks because I like Michael Thomas, but also because that sucks for the Saints. So does this, well, clearly this affects everything, but first I want to talk about Michael Thomas himself. What was Michael Thomas worth to you in picks before this happened? And what What did that change to now?
So I have drafted Thomas in a couple startups this offseason, and I'm kicking myself now because in retrospect, you know, there were stories in the middle of last season where it just, like, he didn't want to be in New Orleans. And I think that, like, around the trade deadline, I feel like there were some maybe like minor rumblings that they might be looking to move him. And so it just kind of seemed like he wanted out, and then the value, like, shifted so that in startups this year, like, I think I got him crazy late, like sixth, seventh round,
fifth or sixth. Yeah, they went really late.
And so it was the type of thing where it was like, well, of course, like, I'll buy in again at that. And then now this comes up, and really some of the stories that it sounds like was essentially that he was supposed to be going to these maintenance appointments, and they were supposed to be checking in on him, and he never showed up. And then he showed up. And so this is the story that I read this weekend, was essentially that he had these scheduled maintenance appointments. Like, I don't know if it was monthly or weekly or whatever it might have been, that he was supposed to be checking with the team. He never showed up to him. Then they showed up and he needed surgery because it hadn't healed like it was supposed to. And so that's what I've heard this weekend. And that makes me, in redraft, I feel like he's a complete stay away because it's just somebody else is going to take him before I would ever feel comfortable taking him. And I'm just not dealing with that headache. I think it's two dynasty shares that I have of him because – last year when I got into startups, he was going in the first round, and I just never was in position to take him there. And so I think there's two shares, and I would love to move off those two shares for – I just don't want to deal with it. And it's – you know, where you mentioned before, we're in this to have fun, and I don't know that he's having fun. So I don't want a guy on my team that's not having fun because it's not going to be a fun experience for me. And so I've just – there was like the value was there to acquire him a couple times, and – past Jeff, I hate you for doing that, and now I'm stuck with it.
You can hate past Jeff. He did the best he could with what was in front of him. The question is now, Jeff, what would you accept to get rid of those two shares?
I would love to pivot to a younger wide receiver, like a Jerry Jeudy or something like that, and just
straight
be
up
done with it. Yeah, I would do it straight up and just be done and walk away. And I'm not reading Michael Thomas news anymore, and maybe I lose a little bit of production, but it's just you gain – not having the headache, I feel like, is the way I view it.
I'm not sure you can get Jeudy straight up.
I don't think you probably can either, but...
I saw a trade, or at least it was a poll or something, and it was Michael Thomas for a 23 first. And I'm like, to me, it was still Michael Thomas. Like, a first 2 years out, like, I get it. He's going to miss time, even if he's missing half the season. He's still pretty damn good. And I'm fine holding on to a wide receiver in his prime we know is talented, as opposed to taking the first 2 years out. And so, I was curious what your guys' thoughts were going to be on that. Because, go ahead, man. Go.
Yeah, no, that was, I'm pretty certain that was Christian Williams' poll. He's my pod. He's my co-host on my pod. So, like, we had talked about it before he even put it out there that we're both in the same place, that we're just done with the headache. And so we're both really excited about the 23 class. Essentially right now he's buying tickets for the Bijan Robinson lottery, DJ Uiagalelei, just trying to, like, position for that. And so
kudos to pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah, I get some practice. But yeah, no, I get it completely. And certainly giving up a experienced receiver who we've seen be the number one wide receiver in fantasy football and break records and still feel like there is a good bit of his prime left. But yeah, he was just in the same place, didn't want to deal with the headache anymore.
All right, Rocky, talk about MT for a second. I have to go get my dog before my wife locks her outside.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of where Russ is at. I'm in a hold position for me. I definitely have Michael Thomas and some contenders, and I would rather just hold on to him, see if he comes back and I can get the points. Right now, I mean, I think the 23 first, was that an actual trade that Christian was offered?
He did the deal. Yeah, he moved Michael Thomas for 23 first.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I think that's about the ceiling of what you could get at this point is the 23 first. I really feel like he's kind of in that sort of Julio Jones range now, like where nobody wants to pay a first for Julio, even though it's, you know, he's only had one injury, you know, the injury last year and the injury this year. I mean, we haven't even seen that he's not productive anymore. But I mean, you could say the same thing about Julio. Julio had the injury last year. But I don't think anybody's paying a first for Julio at this point. Even if he was still on the Falcons, I don't think anyone's paying a first for Julio at this point. So and you get a couple years younger with Michael Thomas. So. But yeah, I'd rather hold, and I think you can get more if he gets into the season and scores points. I get wanting to get out from under him. I just think it's And there is a risk there. I mean, he could come back, or he could take longer to come back than we think. It could be November. It could be December instead of October or so, which is, I think, what the projection is. So, but I'm willing to take the risk. He comes back. He starts scoring points. And then if I'm going to get out from him, I'm going to wait until he comes back and people see him scoring again. And I can get more than maybe a high second, which I think in most leagues is what you're getting. I think I actually think Christian was lucky to get a 23 first for him. Right now,
he was very happy with the deal. So,
all right. Well, I'm out of breath from carrying a 40-pound dog down the stairs. So, yes. Jeff, why don't you talk about Anthony Miller getting traded to the Texans?
Yeah, I think it's a big nothing burger, to be honest with you. So the reality is there have been whispers and there have been rumors, and you don't have to dig hard. There are a lot of questions about Anthony Miller's work ethic and about his caring about the game. And you can, I looked this weekend and I just typed the Anthony Miller work ethic into Google, and it came up with like Mike Furry and all these different guys, Steve Smith, have been in his ear, like trying to get him motivated for his entire career. They've never been able to do it. And so if you've got a guy that is in the situation that he's not been able to get motivated, and you're sending him to Houston, which seems like the absolute worst place to send him, because if I'm already not motivated and you're going to send me to the Texans when nobody wants to be there.
NFL purgatory.
Cash the check. Let's cash the check. I will be in the place that you need me to be to collect that money. And otherwise, it just feels like it's frustrating to me. I really like Kiki Cutie, and I was really hoping that he would kind of pop into some value. And I think I like Nico Collins too. And as from all reports, Nico Collins has just been lighting it up. So it's just one of those things where I don't have any Anthony Miller on my roster. And if you have Anthony Miller on your roster and you're able to get anything out of him off this news, do it in a heartbeat. And otherwise, I just hope he doesn't muck things up for these other guys that we do like.
It's really weird because coming out of college, the big deal about Anthony Miller was that he wasn't the most gifted player, but he's the hardest worker. And it went real fast that turned around, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, he's explosive. If he got there, I think he could be a player. It's just, and we've seen production, but it just seems like it's just not clicking for him.
Okay, yeah. Something happened. There was a trade in the real league, so I felt the need that we had to talk about it, even though there's absolutely nothing to talk about when it comes down to it. Next. Okay, well, same team. The Texans officially are listening to offers on Deshaun Watson. Rumor is they want 3 firsts, maybe plus.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Okay, so yeah, first of all,
right now.
Yes, first of all, that's not gonna happen. Second of all, why say this now is my question. The only two things I can think of are, we might not be far off from the news that he's settling his cases and he's getting a short suspension, if any. Clearly pure speculation, because I am no insider, I have no crystal ball, but there seems to be no other reason to put this out there and a price like that, unless you know you're trading a quarterback at the top of his game who's crazy young and won't have any more problems because it's all settled.
Yeah, I think you're right too, especially on the suspension thing. Like, I feel like they, and maybe around the league even, maybe has some idea of what this is going to be, because there's been, like we've mentioned before, there's talk that the Eagles are interested and they have the ammo to get them. They actually have three potential firsts. I wouldn't want to see them trade all three right now until the case.
They're going to trade Hurts because I need Hurts getting a starting spot.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. It's going to be Hurts plus a first or two or something if they do it. But yeah, I think you're right on that. I think that we may be seeing some sort of resolution to this before the season, or and that they, and maybe, like I said, maybe even the rest of the league kind of has an idea of it's going to be 6 games, it's going to be 8 games, it's going to be whatever it's going to be, and that's why they're doing this now.
Okay, so wait, let's pretend, let's say Hurts, whatever the earliest first is, and something weird like a very good defensive player for Deshaun Watson. How do you feel about that as an Eagles fan?
It might depend on who the very – I don't know if they have a lot of very good defensive players.
Exactly, but which is why
– So I threw out a hypothetical on Twitter this weekend, and I said Hurts, Jalen Reagor, and two firsts.
I almost said Reagor, but I'm like, no, I like him
Deshaun Watson and Brandon Cooks. So if you're the Eagles, you're getting Watson, you're getting Cooks, you're getting a wide receiver that can step in and give you immediate production opposite DeAndre or Smith.
Devontae Smith.
Yeah, yeah. And then you give up two firsts to do it. Was the trade that I threw out.
I don't think I would have a problem with that. Rager doesn't really matter to me in that scenario. I'm a big Cooks guy. He's, you know, he's not super young anymore, but he's still only 27, I think. And if you get Watson, you're trying to win as soon as possible anyway. So, and you've upgraded your team a lot. So I think I would do that. And you still have a first in your pocket, assuming Wentz plays, depending which ones you trade in, and Wentz plays 75% of the games. So you got Watson, Cooks, and you still have at least one first next year. I'm good with that.
Yeah. So when I heard the stories today, the thing that's rung in my mind, you guys know Jalen Rose, and he's talked about in the NBA. And so essentially what happens in the NBA is a player will be traded before they're actually traded. And so you see the, if you follow the NBA, there's always trade rumors and they like names get floated out. And essentially what happens is the teams will float a name out and then they will see what the fan reaction is. And if it's if it is way negative, then that suddenly these rumors just go away. And if it's way positive, it seems like a couple weeks down the road, the trade will happen. And so when I saw all the rumors today, and I was talking to a couple of people today, and I think kind of what if you follow the NBA, it seems like a lot, some of the things from the NBA are kind of flowing into the NFL a little bit with player empowerment. I thought the Matthew Stafford trade was a classic NBA trade. We're seeing more crossover, it feels like. And so if you're somebody that follows the NBA, you're starting to recognize some of these things that are happening in the NFL. And today really felt like one of those things where they're essentially trading Deshaun Watson in the press before they actually trade him. And so that's that was kind of my vibe. Right now, I'm landing at I don't know if there's going to be a suspension because the cases are going to be after the season and they're civil cases. They're not criminal cases. And yeah, well, what's going to happen with them? And so,
The NFL usually doesn't suspend until there's some sort of court resolution.
Yeah.
Anyway, outside of Zeke, apparently. But
well, and I think there was a lot of pushback from a couple years ago when they essentially ended Ray Rice's career and they suspended Adrian Peterson for a year. And I think that the player union was very upset with that. And so I think the league has shifted their mindset and their stance now that essentially we wanted to be more black and white before we're going to give any suspensions. And it's icky and I don't feel good about it, but I've drafted Watson quite a bit this offseason just because where the value essentially he's going in redraft leagues, it seems like he's landing in that area where you're starting to look at third wide receivers, backup running backs.
I took him in the 11th in the fishbowl.
Yeah, I got him in the 13th in the fishbowl. And it's like, it was the point where it's like these guys that are on the board here, it's like I was looking at Jamal Williams or Deshaun Watson. And like when we're in a big tournament, like, I'll take the value in Watson if he plays.
Yeah, and man, like, yeah, I toe that line between liking the people that are on my team and just going for winning. And I know it sucks because I really was a big Deshaun Watson fan. I have none of him, but I was going to grab him in SFB and got, it's funny, you got him in the 11th, you got him in the 13th. I got sniped in the 12th. Which happened every, oh man, I got sniped so much in that freaking draft, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Yeah, I just thought it was super weird that they came out now and very specifically worded things. And now that you're saying that, like, just sort of testing the public waters, that sounds like exactly what's happening.
And they had said for a while, too, that they were not going to, especially before the allegations came out, that, we're definitely not trading him. He's playing for us, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And now it's like, not only are we trading him, we know the exact price we're looking for. Yeah. And it's just like, all right, what's going on, man?
Well, and two, when you've got Adam Schefter coming out and saying the Eagles are looking into a trade for him, that feels like the Eagles want to throw it out there and see what people are going to react before they make that move, because and I think that's the perfect fit. Like, it just feels like an Eagles move to do that deal, and the value that you're getting on him,
there was a report here from one of the sports radio guys, and I'm sure it's kind of what you were saying. The Eagles, they probably wanted him to say that there's a 90% chance that if Watson gets traded, gets cleared and gets traded, that he's coming to the Eagles. I'm sure that that's exactly what you're saying, that they wanted to float it out there, see how negative the reaction might be to acquiring Deshaun Watson because everything that's going on.
All right, well, that's enough of that. Because I want to talk about Paris Campbell is 100% healthy and in camp. That's what I want to talk about.
More exclamation points about that.
Damn straight I do. This is the year Paris Campbell's going to be a thing. I'm telling you, this is the year. Clearly, we don't actually have to talk about that. I just needed to say it out loud. I blame Zach Reed from the very beginning. Like, he's been gushing about Paris Campbell, and I bought into it 100%, and I'm ready. I'm ready for it to happen. We could just move on. That's fine. Yeah.
Hey, I'm a Buckeye man. I'm so ready for it to happen. This guy is so explosive. He's so good that if he can ever put the health together, he is legit. And we saw week one last year. I think it was like nine catches or nine targets.
Nine targets, seven catches.
Seen it on the field. And so, yes, if he can have that health, and it's frustrating because he's a guy that, like, his ADP is low enough that you always tell yourself that he's going to be around, like, I'll get him on the next one because his ADP is low, and then he always gets taken, it seems like.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm probably going to go buy more of him before the season starts. And this one is another one we don't necessarily need to talk about a lot. It's just, it's nice to hear that Joe Burrow is cleared for football activity. I don't remember exactly when he got hurt. It felt like midway through the season, which means it feels great that he's cleared now. Like, I would be grateful not to see him touch the fields preseason. Absolutely fine with him. If he's healthy to come back for week one, like with Dak, okay. Like with Dak, I was saying, let him get out on the field in the preseason, throw a couple of balls, let him get hit, take him off and let him go for the season. Joe Burrow, let it happen week one. He's young. That's fine. He doesn't need this. This doesn't need to be his year. Let him ease back in. It's fine. Dak Prescott, you want him to go. You want him to be ready for the season. Like, I'm excited. I'm excited that there's these healthy quarterbacks. I'm excited that Aaron Rodgers is showing up. Like, this is good for football, which means it's good for fantasy football. And that, like it feels like it's been so long since we've had these things to get us excited. And I love it. Okay, speaking of loving, we have Trade Addicts trades to talk about, and I love me some trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team, super flex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception, and no TA1 trades, so 0.05 points for return yardage. We do actually have a Jordan Love trade in TA8. This was like right after the show last week, so this is clearly pre-today's news. And the trade was Jordan Love for Jacob Harris, who I had to look up is a tight end in New England, I believe. The 22 fifth and a 23 first. So this was Jordan Love for a 23 first. Like, that's Jordan Love, I think, right? Yeah? No? Like, I guess that means it's good, right? That we don't really know.
I think that if you have Love, you're thrilled to get this, I feel like. Because I feel like you've been sitting on this asset for a year, and now you know you're going to be sitting on it for another year. And so if you're going to be waiting for this asset anyways, then give me the unknown first. And if Jacob Harris is anything, then this is great.
Yeah, and also Tyler is trying to pull the J. Mike Invitational, I think. I think he has like seven of the first-rounder picks in TA8 now.
In 23?
Yeah.
And a lot of draft to have them.
And like 5 and 22 also. So, you know, and he won this past year. So we're screwed is what that comes to. We might just have to cancel that league. So, man, like Jordan Love, like a guy you know is going to start at quarterback or first 2 years from now. I guess technically that evens out the time, right? Like, we know that Rodgers is going to be playing for this year. We're not going to try and predict injury or anything, so let's take that out of the equation. So Jordan Love, a guy that will start at the beginning of the 22 season, or a first that is really starting to accrue value, I think I'm convincing myself that it's Jordan Love because you get it sooner. And
I'd rather have the first.
I'd take the first.
Not convinced Jordan Love is any good. So
that doesn't matter.
I think that I am landing where I think that he's going to be a productive fantasy quarterback. I'm not sure about a real quarterback, but
that's kind of what matters, right? Like, he's a first round pick. They have the fifth year option on him. which they're going to have to use because he's not going to get any real time to play and show him what he can do. So, like, he has at least 2 to 3 years of guaranteed starting, assuming he starts not this coming year, but the year after. So, as long as he's good for fantasy, it doesn't matter if he's good in real life. I think I'm taking Jordan Love. I'm convincing myself. That's the answer.
I feel like there's a narrow margin for this to be a win, though, with Jordan Love, because if that 23 first is Bijan Robinson or DJ Uiagalelei, then you lost bad. And so almost got to be a mid to late first to feel like you're winning the trade. And for an asset that you're not going to have for this year, and you're waiting another year on it anyways.
Oh, I had an answer, and now you made it worse that I don't know. So we're just going to move on because I don't want to hurt my brain right now. We have two trades that are – I ran the outhouse challenge today. We'll go over that in a second. So let's get the other trade that is not from that. Trade Addicts 9. This was Carson Wentz, Chase Edmonds, Michael Pittman, 22 first. One more time. Wentz, Edmonds, Pittman, and a first for J.K. Dobbins, Brandon Cooks, and a 22 second. I'm going to go first. This is so easily the Wentz, Edmonds, Pittman, and first.
That was literally the words I was going to say.
Yeah. And I feel bad because at least at the beginning of the show, both of the people involved in this trade were listening, and they might still be here. And I'm sorry, but yeah, like I remember even seeing like I like Dobbins. I love Dobbins the player. I am a little less thrilled with like he needs touchdown efficiency like crazy to do like. 5-10 if he's luck 10 or 5 if he's lucky, like to get those high of running back numbers, just because the passing work won't be there and that entire offense is based on efficiency, and like he's gonna have to score Aaron Jones style touchdowns to be super fantasy relevant. And while I want that to happen, I can't speak it into the world like it's going to happen. And then I mean Carson Wentz and the Pittman stack and the first on top, and I like getting Edmonds just because there's a chance he's a thing, and not long term at all, don't get me wrong, but this year, like, not calling him a league winner or getting you the championship, but that's that solid RB2 that you'll probably get 10 very usable games out of him from him, whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. So yeah, this is pretty easily that side for me.
Yeah, there's a very real scenario that Edmonds and Pittman outscore or at least come very close to Dobbins and Cooks this year, especially if Cooks has Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills at quarterback. I could see a very real scenario where Edmonds and Pittman are right there with those two guys, and so you're essentially giving up a second for a first and Carson Wentz in a super flex.
Yeah.
Without even getting into like what I think each of these players are going to do this year, just like even if you think you need Wentz plus to get to Dobbins, let's say Wentz and Edmonds, then you're trading Pittman and a 22 first for Brandon Cooks and a 22 second. I'm doing that all day, and I'd rather have Wentz and Edmonds over Dobbins anyway in a super flex league, even though I'm not a big quarterback guy, Russ. But I believe in the Wentz bounce back, and I'm with you. I love Dobbins, the actual running back. Dobbins, the fantasy player, I'm a little more hesitant about. So the value is on that side. I think the points are on that side, and you're getting a first on that side. It's just, yeah. Sorry, whoever got the Dobbins side.
All right, so let's move on real quick. Okay, so I did the outhouse challenge today in three leagues, two of which were Trade Addicts leagues. In case you're listening and don't know, what the hell is wrong with you? Come on, man. This is my stuff, and this is why you listen. So what I do is I get bored, and I say to my league, I'm going – send me a trade offer. And every offer you send, I'm going to post as a poll on Twitter. If the side you are offering me wins, I'll accept the trade. This is terrifying. I do not really recommend anyone ever do this.
It's fun, though.
It is so much fun. Okay, first of all, let's put it out there. If you're going to do this, don't do all your leagues at once. No. It's too much. And also set some guidelines. Tell people if a trade is really atrocious, you're just going to reject it. People don't seem to understand the point of this. That is, you want people to vote for your side. You're not going to get away with trash. But also, the way I word it is you can send multiple offers, but no variations on the same offer. No, you know, this guy for 1 second and this guy for 2 seconds. You know, you can send multiple offers, but they have to be different because that's just a waste of time. So I did this for Trade Addicts 4, 5, and a best ball league that, you know, Bobby Koch got me into, because what's a Trade Addicts episode if we don't say the name Bobby Koch at least once? So I did 2 trades. Now I have to go back to, I have my dog that is being very needy right now, and it's tough to get to my mouse and get back to the other sheet. Okay, this one, I don't like either of these. I got very upset about both of these. Trade Addicts 4. A 22-second Michael Gallup and Harrison Bryant for a 22-first. I need to talk, like I told you before, like, if things just seem that bad, I just reject them. I rejected this at first. I'm just like, seriously? Like, all of that just to bump up from a second to a first? And the guy was just like, I put it on DTC and it was pretty close. And I'm like, wait, what? Seriously? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, all right, my bad. I'll post it. And it freaking won. It was close. It was like 58-42. But like, what the hell, Twitter? Why don't you like Michael Gallup at all? Or I should say, why do you like him that little? Dog, I'm trying to talk. Get your
So you had to face. Give up Gallup in the second.
I gave up Gallup the second and Harrison Bryant. And that's I told him I right away I was going to be sad about it.
I'll let Jeff go, but that's the side I'd want.
Yeah, that's the side I would want too. And I was really hoping when I saw this that you were getting that side. And yeah. I was just going to tell you, hey, go out and win your league. And that 22 first is going to be.
My team is so goddamn bad. So goddamn bad in that.
That league. Makes it worse.
Well, at least I got a first now. But no, do not eat my. You're going back down.
Yeah, I'm excited about Gallup. I feel like I'm kind of kicking myself because I feel like I should have been buying him more. But the first camp, the reports out of the camp, they've been moving him all around, and it sounds like Amari Cooper's hurt. And if Amari Cooper misses time and Gallup is the clear number two wide receiver, he's going to smash on his value.
Like, it's funny. Like, that was my exact answer was, okay, I said, I humbly apologize for rejecting this. You are clearly correct. But clearly this means I need to go out and send offers for Michael Gallup because nobody likes him ever. And that is ridiculous because even as the wide receiver 3 on that offense, he still did really freaking well. That's and that was without Dak Prescott.
With Dak Prescott. Even if Cooper plays, he's still going to have some decent weeks for you. And overall last year, like you said, I think all those guys were like around 900-ish yards and a decent amount of catches. So yeah,
and that's with the new check quarterback.
Yeah, and if Cooper like Jeff said, if Cooper misses time, you know, his value will skyrocket when he starts off the way him and CD will start off with no Cooper. So yeah, and then that. He's a free agent after this year. So he could be a number two at least, if not more, somewhere else. You know, kind of do the Corey Davis thing or something. But yeah.
Yeah, I read Cooper it will be completely cleared to practice and such mid-August. And honestly, they're probably just being careful with him because he doesn't need preseason stuff at this point anymore. But yeah, I was not happy when that went through. Also because I really like Harrison Bryant. Like, I think Austin Hooper, but Njoku's not a thing in Cleveland. Like, I want him to go somewhere else because I want him to be a thing, because I think he can be. It's not going to happen in Cleveland, in which case I do think Harrison Bryant can slide in there and be good. Not great, especially right away, but 2 years down the line when Hooper's gone, Harrison Bryant's been in the league for about 3 years, which is what tight ends normally, you know, year two, year three, that's when they start doing things. I'm going to have to go get him back is what it comes down to. I was not happy when this one went through. And speaking of not being happy when trades go through, Trade Addicts 5, I knew this was going to win, and I was really upset about it. So this trade was Stephon Diggs, Elijah Mitchell, and a 23-third for Terry McLaurin and Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, I'm going to say, which side do you guys think I ended up getting that I was upset about?
The Diggs side.
The Diggs side.
Okay, that's what I thought, too. I'd want the McLaurin and Juju side, so I was hoping you were going to say the Diggs side.
I was surprised how few people came after Juju. Like, I really think he's great, and no one wants him. His value is so low.
Another guy could be somewhere else next year, too.
Who will be somewhere else next year. He was smart in signing the 1-year deal with a team he knows. TV money comes in next year. They are going to get paid next year. So you stick with the team you know, the offense you... Sorry, my dog like started whining and then yawned in the middle of it, and it was just hilarious. And then she's just staring at me. Like, it was a very smart move for Juju to stay on that one-year deal. And it's just like, I'm so angry to lose Juju and Terry McLaurin. I love Diggs, too. That's the part of me that's even more conflicted about this. I love Stephon Diggs, and I've been trying to get him off JD since we drafted. And that's like 2-3 years ago at this point. Not like this. This isn't what I wanted, but that's what happens when you do the outhouse challenge.
This trade was a brilliant move because yep. Twitter hates Juju and Twitter is irrationally in love with Elijah Mitchell. So putting those two pieces in there, like I feel like some people on Twitter would be willing to trade Elijah Mitchell straight up for Juju. Or the other way around, trade Juju straight up for Elijah Mitchell just because the way Twitter is.
And that's what Russ was saying. A lot of people don't get what to do. This person got exactly what to do when you try and make one of these deals with the outhouse challenge. And
he doesn't host Goat District for no reason.
Yeah, some people just send trash and think, okay, maybe Twitter will vote for this one. They won't. They're not always the smartest on Twitter, but they're not too stupid either. So
This is the worst the outhouse challenge has ever been to me. Like, it really is. The other trade that went through was a super flex, half PPR, no tight end premium. I sent away Tyler Higbee and a fourth for Raheem Mostert. And I was like, honestly, I was like, I probably would just accepted that anyway, because who the hell cares? Like, whatever, man. Like, I don't really care about Higbee. I like Mostert, like, and it's best ball, so I don't have to choose when to start him. All right. Like, Oh, here's one. It got that league also that didn't actually pass. Like, it got destroyed. Wentz, Gabriel Davis, and a third for Matt Stafford. I really thought that was going to be close. It was like 80-20 Stafford.
Yeah.
Like, again, maybe that's just because I am pretty high on Wentz, and I thought Twitter was high on Gabe Davis, but clearly those two things did not come together for that.
Yeah, I think Twitter's freaked out about Gabe Davis right now, it seems like, lately.
But yeah, I was surprised at how far that was. So yeah, those are our TA trades, and I'm going to move away from them because they make me sad at this point. I'm lying. Trades never make me sad because I'm just going to go trade away Diggs at this point and figure out what to do. That other one, man, my TA4 team is so bad. I don't even know how it happens. Like, I did a dispersal, and I just made it worse from there. So first listener question, at Mad Scientist FF, Damien, I hope you're still listening because we're answering your question now. Who is one player that you feel could become a top 12 player at their position that isn't getting enough attention? Juju Smith-Schuster. Does anyone have anyone that they're thinking of right now who could be top 12 at their position, though they're not getting enough attention?
Two guys that come to mind, but I do think they're getting attention. But Jonnu Smith at tight end, I think he has a great chance to be top 12. But I think he's got a little bit of buzz, and I've been banging that drum for a little while. And then the guy I just wrote up, Travis Etienne, I think in full PPR, I think he's got a chance to be – if it's full PPR, I think he's got a chance to be a top 12 running back.
I think Jeff knows I don't agree on that one.
Yeah, I don't feel super strongly about it. I'm just gonna.
I just feel James Robinson is good and Travis Etienne is overrated. It's basically what it is. I don't consider myself an expert film scout, but I watched a lot of these rookies more this year than ever before, and I just wasn't that impressed by Travis Etienne from what I saw on tape. I don't think he's that great of a runner. I think he has vision issues. I think his receiving ability is a little overrated. Once he gets out in space, he's got speed, he's got burst, but he's not running a lot of, at least from what I saw. I didn't watch every game he played, but he wasn't running a lot of routes kind of thing. You would see guys like Najee and Gainwell actually run, like go out wide and run routes and things like that. I just believe in James Robinson as an actual good player. That's and people want to say, well, they drafted him in the first round. Well, You're expecting, you know, because they drafted him in the first round, they're logically going to use him a lot more than James Robinson. But it was not logical to draft him in the first round in the first place. So I'm not sure why we're expecting logic to you know, take over here. So and Urban Meyer scares the hell out of me anyway. So even if James Robinson isn't a thing, I'm not sure Travis Etienne is.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
That's fair. I get it.
Yeah. Me and Jeff have had this discussion in a group chat before a little bit.
That was fun to throw him out there.
I do you have one to ask? Because I was looking and I have not really.
I have one or two. Mo Alie-Cox at tight end. Like, he's just so damn athletic. And we've seen Wentz use the tight end a lot. There's, besides T.Y. Hilton, there's no one else pass catcher wise that has really proven that they should command targets. I mean, short of Zach Pascal, I'm sorry, because that dude finds a way every year to have like two or three games that are just amazing. But like, there's not much else there that we know is going to happen. We want Pittman to be a thing. We want Paris Campbell to be a thing, but nothing's a thing yet. Mo Alie-Cox had those like two games where he went nuts. And we've seen Wentz use a tight end. Why not, right? And no one's really talking about it. Like, I wanted them to re-sign Trey Burton, and they didn't for some reason. Because Wentz played with him before. But besides him, Daniel Jones, like, people are still stuck on hating him. But when he was with a healthy Saquon, he exponentially better than he did last year. You know, the line got better as the year went on with a healthy Saquon, with Kenny frickin' Galladay, and... I mean, Kadarius Toney, I get that he might not be great as a fantasy asset, but he's going to be great for that football team. So I am absolutely there for Daniel Jones this season. I don't really have any running backs or wide receivers. Like, I keep looking at like Myles Gaskin, I guess, but people sort of get why Gaskin should be good. Will he be top 12? Probably not. But still, I think he is a pretty good player to go grab, and you'll get maybe a couple of top 12 weeks out of him. But chances are he's finishing like running back 26 or like something weird like that. But he'll still give you like 4 weeks in the top 10. But I don't really have any skill players that I really have. I feel super strongly about.
It's funny that you were saying what you were saying, because one I was thinking about was actually Carson Wentz.
To me, he's already there, so I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
but I don't think people are thinking that much of him. And I just double checked this while you were talking to make sure. Going back to last year, he got benched in week 13. Through week 12, he was QB 11.
And that's with how bad he looked.
He was horrible last year, and he was QB 11. And Indianapolis doesn't have the greatest weapons, but he's never had the greatest weapons in Philadelphia either. And I think we all like Pittman. You know, T.Y. still got a little bit left, maybe. You know, you love Paris Campbell, Russ. So,
I do.
And you were mentioning Mo Alie-Cox, and he's got Nyheim Hines. I mean, he's able to make use of – he likes to spread it around anyway. He's never had one guy he really centered on in Philadelphia most of the time anyway. So he's one I was looking at. And I definitely don't think people are talking about him very much. And the only other one I was looking at – and this was mostly by ADP, because it's not like he's, like, coming from out of nowhere or anything. Going with Jeff's rookie running back thing, a guy I like a lot more is Javonte Williams. He's at RB20 still in ADP, according to July ADP, which is, you know, not, you know, RB40 or something, but he's still not being considered a top 12 guy. And we've heard pretty glowing reports coming out of camp about him. I'm not that concerned. I think it's definitely going to be a deal like we see with a lot of the rookie running backs where he overtakes Gordon at some point this season. And I guess it's just a matter of how good that offense is between, you know, Locke and Bridgewater, whether he can get to top 12 status. But I think he's going to be the guy in very short order, probably by, you know, midseason at the latest.
Who do you hope starts at the quarterback in Denver, Jeff?
Who do I hope? I hope Drew Locke starts just because I've got Drew Locke.
it's just more fun that way, if you ask me. That's really fun. What it is.
Teddy's boring.
Yeah, that's really all it is.
And I've learned fast last year, because in these startups that I did, I have Drew Locke on some teams, and I have Teddy Bridgewater on some teams, and I have Gardner Minshew and Dwayne Haskins on some teams. And so I learned I treat the quarterback much different this year in startups.
That's always a fun conversation to me. Like, who do you want there? Because there's no right answer, if you ask me. But that's why I just lean to, I think Drew Lock will make it more fun. So that's my answer.
And my old answer was Aaron Rodgers. But
And there's more upside with Lock. Like, even the ceiling with Teddy is much lower than the ceiling if Lock somehow is better than we expect him to be this year. Like, he has more talent to be better than arm talent than
Teddy does. He can throw the ball further at least.
Yeah.
And he's willing to.
He wasn't bad at the end of last year. He played fine at the end of last year, but then the reports were that, like, in the first practice, the ball basically just fell backwards out of his hand and there was just a bunch of random stuff happening to him. But I just don't think he's the guy that is going to handle a real legitimate threat like Teddy Bridgewater would be to him.
All right. Next question from at Papa Tress. Who is most likely to be 2022's Kyler, Burrow, Mac, etc., aka under-mocked QB who will end up in the as a first-round pick?
I'm very curious to hear Jeff's answer on this because I'm not a super Debbie guy, but
I know I have no answer to this whatsoever.
Yeah, so I hope Jeff has a good one. But I do know that after Rattler and Howell, there's like a lot of people feel like there's like eight different guys who could be QB3. So I'm curious where Jeff goes with this.
So I'll throw three names at you here. I think he is, I don't know where he's getting mocked right now, but Malik Willis is getting everybody's attention. And so I feel like that's a guy that he's drawn favorable comps to. Jalen Hurts, like, he, fantasy purposes, he's going to be fantastic because he's that running quarterback, but he's also very strong and can throw the ball very well. Another name is Desmond Ridder out of Cincinnati. I feel like
I've heard that name.
Cincinnati is kind of primed right now to have a fantastic year, and he's a guy that as a G5, he can have a great year and really soar up draft boards. He's a bigger guy, he's 6'4", and he's athletic as well too. He can run. And then the other name I'll throw at you is Carson Strong, and that's for both of my podcast hosts, Kevin Coleman and Christian Williams. Both love Carson Strong. He's not a Konami quote unquote quarterback. He's a more traditional quarterback, but he's got a fantastic arm, and he is playing out in Nevada. And so he's another G5 team that Nevada's got a lot of good talent around him that he could really kind of be this year's Zach Wilson.
All right, good. I'm glad you had an answer because I had nothing. Yes. Like, I read that question. I'm like,
that's
oh no.
Why Ryan, this is Ryan from TA9. Yeah. I think that's probably why he asked the question. He knows Jeff's a Debbie guy. I don't think he would have asked the question to us.
Well, happy I can throw out three answers, one covering each of us. So hopefully one of those hits.
Okay, Nick Martinez, one of the many, at FFG. I always read this wrong, the GMO life, but it's actually GM of life. Question for the pod tonight. How does your startup auction strategy change in a 24-team, two-division league with two copies of each player and both copies available to both divisions? For example, Zeke could be in the same division on two different teams. How do you gauge where to find value and how to keep calm? I will tell you the answer to the second one. There is no keeping calm in an auction. We'll just put that out there. But in Pigs 1, it was a rookie draft. I didn't do the startup draft, so I can't. It's a little different, right? Like startup versus the rookie auctions. I waited. And the same thing with Red List 2, which I share a team with the many mentions time, Bobby Koch. We waited for the first copies to go, more or less. Like, I'm absolutely a price enforcer when it comes to auctions. Like, I see a stud out there, he has to be going for at least 20 to 25%. Otherwise, no, I'm bidding him up. I actually very rarely get caught, which I've definitely just jinxed myself, but too late. I said it. But I'm absolutely fine letting everyone spend their money because chances are that second copy, especially if it goes off like 2 days later, is going to be cheaper because people have spent their money. They're going to be like, oh, man, that last, you know, Zeke went for $400. I don't have that. I'm not going to bother. And then you get him for $250. I'm completely making up numbers. But, you know, I'm just saying that, like, I wish I could remember off the top of my head, like the first share of Pitts went for almost $700 and I got him for $425 in Pigs 1. The same thing with Trey Lance. It went for $100-something cheaper. Zach Wilson went for like half the price, you know, because people come out, they know they want this guy. So they're going to go get him. They saved the money for this guy. And then the second time around, you deal with the bargain hunters, you deal with the people that maybe had the same strategy as you, but also by then you can probably trade for a little extra money. Like that's what I, that's, a, you know, to add to that part of the strategy is let a lot of those players go first, let the first copies fly. And then when people spend most of their money and are like, you know what, I'm fine ending the auction like this, you know, I'll give you my future third. Just give me like 10, 15 bucks, you know, give me some small and like do that over and over, like keep cycling picks, get some money. If you ended up with a player you don't care about, sell them at like a couple of bucks less than you did. It doesn't matter anymore because it might help you go get Zeke that next time. So I'm absolutely, when it comes to multiple copies, I do everything in my willpower to just hold it doesn't usually work. Like I always say, do as I say, not as I do, because I have no patience whatsoever. But the smart move is to let those first copies go. If he's going too cheap, I'm bidding anyway. I will say that now, but really I want to believe that I will have the power to sit and wait.
I think a lot of what you said is right. One thing I want to add. Well, first I wanted to say, I wish you would have asked about a three copy league, because I'm in Red List 3, and that's what that is. And I actually kept track of the whole thing, and it was interesting. Almost universally, it's the rookie draft, not the this past year, not a startup, but almost universally, the high end guys, the second copy always went cheaper. And so I think that's a good strategy. But sometimes the main thing I did want to add, because I was just looking at it again now, is I would try and get that second copy of the guys you want not long after the first copy goes off the board. Because one thing I did notice in our league, which had the three copies, is if you wait too long, some of the third copies were going for more than either the first or the second copy. I actually traded, because I'm sort of rebuilding there, and I traded Christian McCaffrey like mid draft, and I wanted to get a quarterback. Because I'm rebuilding and I care more about quarterbacks when I'm rebuilding. And it was funny. It came down to me and one other guy who were the only guys that had money left. Mac Jones copy one went for 226. Mac Jones copy two went for 184. And then we got in a bidding war that got out of control where we were just trading guys left and right. I ended up getting Mac Jones copy three for 458 because we both had so much money we were going to waste if we didn't get Mac Jones.
Oh, right, because that's not bankroll. Like once that auction's over,
yes,
it's gone.
Not bankroll. It's just gone.
So, oh boy!
And I ended up winning, and I didn't really trade much of value to end up. Like it was, I got lucky. You know, we both kind of were trading guys because everybody had some money and there wasn't much left beyond Mac Jones anyway. So I was trading like Sterling Shepherds and guys like that to get 30 bucks here and 25 bucks there from people who knew they weren't going to be able to spend their money. But we ended up making him ridiculous. So don't wait too long, even in a two copy, like don't wait too long to get to that second copy. Cause if you get to the point where you're getting later in the draft, in the auction and people have extra money, especially if you can't carry it over, you might see some crazy things that shouldn't be happening.
Got anything, Jeff?
No, I've learned a lot because I've not done. So I've done, I do love a good auction, but last year I did one startup and it was one copy. And I think I did okay because I ended up with like Mahomes. So it was like the type of thing where it was like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to spend this money. And so I got Mahomes, I got CMC, I got Darren Waller for cheap. I got, and so that team, like I ended up with Tyreek Hill. I got DK for cheaper last year because he was cheaper last summer. And then the person that had Tyreek wanted to trade him for DK. So I did that deal to stack with Mahomes. And so, but I think that you hit great points there and really approaching an auction early, look for those bargains that you know are the bargains that are going to go off on the elite guys, and then really hammer that middle section because you don't want to end up in a situation like Rocky did where you've got money at the end, because there's always going to be one other guy that's got money at the end too, and you're going to end up buying these guys. You see it every single time you do an auction. The guys at the end of the auction go for way more than what you would ever think that they would, and really that soft middle is where you get the values.
Yeah, and as bad as it was paying $458 for Mac Jones, it would have been far worse to just been sitting there with $457 and nothing to spend it on.
That guy you beat out for him just sitting there with all that money and nothing to do with it.
And that's what happened. So essentially, I ended up with Tyreek Hill, or not Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, in a similar situation in that league that I was talking about last year, where it was like I just had money at the end, and one other guy had money, and I ended up, I had $60 and he had $59. And it's like one of those things you're looking back and you're like, God, I wish I would have bought Deontay Johnson or for 40 instead of Mecole Hardman for 60, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love auctions. I'm terrible at them, yes, but they're so much fun. That's what matters, right? Not losing your league every single year. All right. Well, that's the end of our show sheet. So that is going to be the end of our show. Before we head out and before we say thank you and how awesome you are, Jeff, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Yeah, you can find me on Jeff Bell again on Twitter at For Whom J Bell Tolls. You can find me with Fantasy Pros. You can find me with Football Guys. You can find me with the Going for Two Network with the Debbie Royale Tuesday nights at 9:30. We do Debbie content. We talk about college football and love talking about college football. And then you can find me at Coming Off the Edge at 7 o'clock. Just me and my friends get together and we just talk about nothing. So just like you would like to enjoy.
Well, we appreciate the hell out of you coming on here in short notice and apologize it took this long to get you on here. I just have a terrible memory and kind of just thought you were here already at some point.
No, I'm appreciative. Thank you so much.
I hope you had a good time.
Of course.
If you said no during the show, I would be kind of pissed about it and just boot you from the stream now. So I'm glad you said you did. But our stuff, what is our stuff? Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can watch us during the live stream. You know, we mentioned a couple of times people in the chat listening and commenting. You could be there too. There's also the Cool Kids Club, our awesome chat on GroupMe, where, I mean, it's an awesome GroupMe chat. That's really what it comes down to, right? There's a bunch of awesome, very smart, very cool people in there. Talk football, talk whatever the hell you want. Clearly talk Disney movies, because that's what I do. And that's what Jeff does. Yeah, I still have that bookmarked, you know. I'm going to go read that article. Or that stream of tweets. FFpodshirts.storeenvy.com. That's what it is. We have merch from, nope, not wearing any, from all of your favorite podcasts of the DAP Network and more. You know, Trade Addicts Leagues, Junkies, Timeline, Get Real. But then there's also Superflex Super Show, Dynasty Diagnostic, Devi Marketplace, Fantasy Intervention,
Vipers.
Yeah, that's enough, right? But also we have a ton of Scott Fishbowl stuff. Me, Bob Gilchrist, Steven Johnson, and I guess we can give John Bosch some credit whatsoever. I don't like giving John Bosch credit for things. So every single penny anything from the store will be going to Fantasy Cares for July and August. And even going forward, anything that is SFP related will still be going to Fantasy Cares. We have raised a ton of money that is so freaking cool. And I am 0% a graphic designer and feel so gosh darn proud of some of the stuff I did that it just delights my heart to see people buy them. So please go buy some cool shirts and stickers and get kids some presents for Christmas and Hanukkah. Come on, man. From Toys for Tots. And I'm Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse, Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict, at Trade Addicts Pod, DLF Family Podcast, DAP Network. Subscribe, rate, review, all of those things that I'm supposed to tell you to do because you love us. And good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
Night, Jeff.
Good night.